This week on Tomboy T-Rod, not Tyrade or T-Raid, we go undercover as special agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
As we sneak into Marvel Cinematic Universe in a big, great rocket ship.
Raven, we don't have a rocket ship yet.
Huh?
We're taking a peek into the Marvel Cinematic Universe by going undercover as S.H.I.E.L.D.'s agents of Geek, remember?
Oh, yeah. Whoops. Right.
As we try to bring some nasty Asgardians down, play hooky with Loki, possibly, and of course save the day with our friends from Fantastic Geek, Matt and Pete. So, buckle up for the ride of your life. It's going to be marvelicious.
Raven.
Hey, Agent Persis!
Did you hear the news?
What news?
The hub! It's on lockdown! And Hydra is stealing everything from the kitchen pantry! Oh! And they're attacking the building as well!
What? Are you serious? Oh shit! I better go and see if they've bagged all the natural supplies! I just had one bag of them in the fridge yesterday!
Hey, relax, Kimosabi!
What?
I got them all stashed here! See?
Why didn't you say so?
Yeah, but you know what? I've lost Agent Coulson and his team. I kind of got distracted trying to get the nachos and all, but I think I'm supposed to meet Agent Pete and Matt from the Triskelion office.
What? Who are they? I never even heard of that office before.
Jeez, what have you heard about? They're the deep cover audio podcast operatives for Geek, a subsection of S.H.I.E.L.D. Also known as the Fantastic Geeks, but that's their undercover name, okay? Don't tell them I told you that. They told me to meet them here, but they're freaking late, as usual. Oh, it was their SOP since the Academy days. Oh, nothing's changed.
This is terrible. Just the kind of thing that happens on Tomboy T-Rod, Asia's biggest and only all-female English comedy chat podcast. Why? Why?
Maybe because we're a no-holds-barred comedy chat podcast, you know, that talks about geek stuff, entertainment, and just about anything we can think of as tomboys.
Kneel before me.
You hear that?
Damn it! It's getting heavy out there! We better bust ourselves out of here!
Yeah! Forget the Fantastic Geeks. We've got the bigger problem here.
A Stark raving mad Asgardian. No Iron Man pun intended.
Really, Matt?
I said. No!
Come on, Persis. No time for punny talk.
I know. Anyway, which Asgardian are we talking about? Loki or Lorelei?
Both, okay?
But I know a way out. Get in here. Hurry and run. Well, I know. We should all be used to that kind of nutfuckery by now. Too much time in Valhalla have screwed their brains up into fish cakes.
True that.
Ah, my ribs. Just my luck. I had to catch one.
I feel worse. I feel totally zapped out.
Here!
What's this?
Charger and a smartphone, dude. My bats died out. Figured since you've been zapped, you could help recharge my phone.
Give me that! We need to find a way out of here!
Yeah, before those Asgardians catch up to us. We're not safe here.
Especially since the hub's been compromised.
So guys, where are we going? And we're trudging our way to a typical Marvel comic book escape with the hosts of popular geek podcast show, Fantastic Geeks. Yay!
Woohoo!
So, Matt and Pete, please tell us about Fantastic Geeks, because I tried to do research, but I can't find a lot about you. How come you guys are like so secretive and so, you know,
is this like
covert?
Underground? Why are you like underground? Is this a cover? Are we really talking to Fantastic
Geeks? Yeah,
are we really talking
that we
to...
don't know about? Yeah.
You are.
Are we really talking to Matt and Pete? Or is this like, you know, you're one of the allies or something?
No, this is us.
It's the real deal.
Real deal.
We first met in 2010. Mm-hmm. And we were at another job together and came to realize we had many of the same tastes in entertainment, particularly TV. And just really developed from there.
Yeah, I had I had gotten into podcasting a little bit, I don't know, about 6-8 months before I met Pete. And I was doing a podcast where I was rewatching the TV show Lost, and actually had Pete on at one point to talk about Lost and whatnot. And, you know, from there, just, you know, hey, we should work on a project together, do something involving pop culture. And a couple iterations later, you know, here's Fantastic Geek, and here's us living in the Marvel Universe.
That's great, because you have several other iterations of the original podcast as well, right? You've specifically actually had so much passion for the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe and the comic books and everything that you have dedicated, which is amazing, you have dedicated actual shows to, you know, each of these, you know, properties that Marvel has kind of released. You've got, I know you've got one series on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Fantastic Geek, the show. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the Agent Carter series. I'm like, wow, how do you guys find so much time to, you know, record all these?
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, I think we do a pretty good job of carving out the time. And I like to think we're pretty efficient. And we really think about our audience in terms of what they're looking for and what they have in mind. They've been pretty responsive.
That's awesome.
Yes. And I think...
Sorry.
I was just going to say kind of...
Origin... Oh, okay, sorry.
No, go ahead, ladies first.
We're going to do this for the whole podcast.
Squeeze in a quick question. Are you guys originally called Fantastic Geeks? Because I had this impression you were called something else.
Or am I making things up? Or is Hydra messing my brain?
we're Fantastic Geeks.
Okay, just checking.
So out of all the series that you guys do, which one is your personal favorite?
I think for me, in a lot of ways, it definitely is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., despite the fact that it had, you know, those famous bumps in the road when it first came out and whatnot. The ability to be doing 22 episodes a year, for the series to be presenting 22 episodes a year, and for us to be living with these characters, the ups and downs and whatnot, that gives you a certain intimacy to the characters where, yes, with a shorter series like Agent Carter or Daredevil or some of the other stuff that they're working on, you kind of can go deeper, or you can do different things in that different format. But just the sheer number of episodes out there and the ability to do twists and turns and really get to know the characters, I think for me it's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Cool.
I'd have to agree. Certainly has a special place in my heart. It was the one that we started with Marvel. You know, we had done some other podcasts for other shows, and when Marvel got a plan together to come to TV, that interested both of us, and you know, we've stuck with it, and here we are 2 years later doing S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter and Daredevil. Every time they drop a movie and everything there. So.
They don't do too many shows, because then our real lives and our podcast lives are something's going to break there.
But I think you have to speak to Kevin Feige on that, because I think they have a hell of a lot of stuff coming out.
Yes,
so.
This universe is expanding. So are you guys Marvel fans? Can we safely presume that?
Do
you grow up reading Marvel comics?
I wouldn't say I grew up reading the comics. Certainly, you know, aware of the Incredible Hulk and, mm-hmm. you know, Captain America and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the thing that sets our podcast apart from others is that we're students of pop culture.
Yeah, because you guys are also kind of learning along the way, right? What makes, you know, the series work, you know, what the characters are doing. And because I wanted to ask you, because I know you shred like a lot of the episodes apart. You guys actually, you know, mm-hmm. take a very serious outlook on each of the episodes. Like what is the thing that like you remember about any of
I always
fans,
feel
you know,
really
about, you know, your podcast.
Really excited when we hear from somebody who says, I appreciate that you guys are getting into the production end, because that's something that interests me just as a viewer, whether it's good things or bad things. I find it really, really fantastic that people respond to that as opposed to, oh, it was great, there's explosions, oh, are these characters going to fall in love? You know, to kind of get into that. You know, this is created, so let's talk about how it was created.
You know, we've been very lucky. We've had, you know, Clark Gregg, we've had Agent Coulson, and we've had Ming-Na Wen.
Yeah.
You know, Agent May, both on the podcast and very generous with their time. And, you know, our audience was really, really receptive to those interviews.
So how do you get those guys on the show? And it was like one of my favorite episodes.
Thanks.
really? I was so freaking impressed. But yeah, how do you reach out to them? Do you like go through like social media, or do you go to their agents, or how does it work? Because I know they're both quite active on social media.
They are. And, you know, certainly the interaction there has helped. You know, but I like to think that they see the product and they reached out to us.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that just left us feeling so incredibly lucky. I'm usually the one primarily doing the tweets for Fantastic Geek. And just this moment where, you know, I'm calling up Pete going, we just got a direct message from Clark Gregg who asked us, can I come on the podcast sometime? And it's like, I got to respond, but what do we say? How do we say it in 140 characters? Do we do two? How do we say everything? What's next? You know, so it's like this half hour discussion of you want to get the information back quickly. And then it's like, oh, is he off to now shoot a scene? And is he going to be away from his phone? Or did it pass us by? You know, but it was so flattering that they care not just about us. I mean, who are we at the end of the day? The fact that they want to connect with fans out there, whether it's fans us doing the podcast or fans that listen to us, and as Pete said, just the fact that they're so generous with their time, because you know the lengthy shoots and you want to get home to your family and all of that, and to take that extra time really is so, you know, you like to think that it's kind of, they're not just doing it for their job, for the show, because they're really genuinely good people.
Yes, because it was really amazing. And I think the crew was pretty tight as well. I mean, I remember seeing May, she posted pictures of her, well, actually not, technically not May, but she posted pictures of the whole crew having a barbecue at her house. I was like, wow, how cool is that? I'm pretty sure that it's not a PR directive.
Yeah.
They're just like really hanging out, like being friends. And yeah, she's been retweeting like photos, like drawings made of her. And there was one recent drawing, illustration of her that was really, really cool.
And after that,
every interaction we've had with the cast of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been overwhelmingly positive. You know, when we met Clark and Jeff Loeb, Marvel's head of television, at New York Comic Con, which we attend every year, and you know they immediately knew us. And you know, Clark made the introduction to Jeff, and you know, hey, these guys do a fantastic podcast. You know, that was very gratifying.
I think that because the two of them have been in Hollywood for as long as they have, and they've had ups and downs, they recognize that, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. might not be the number one show on television, but it has this rabid audience, and it has people that are really excited about it each week. And who would have thought that when they were in their 40s or 50s that they would have that? So I think that they're appreciative of that as well.
Yeah.
True. So, okay, where can you guys find you on social media? I mean, you guys are everywhere, but it's hard to find intel on you guys. You know? We have been snooping around. We've gone through the case files, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
We broke into some vaults.
Yeah, we looked through Furry's vault.
Yeah, we kind of hacked into the system, but nothing.
Well, Pete, why don't we start with you?
It always seems to go that way, doesn't it?
It's like, you first.
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, P-I-E. T E R J Ketelar, K E T E L A A R.
And I'm personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost. And we both are under the Fantastic Geek, Fantastic with a PH umbrella under on Twitter, on Gmail, and our website. And Pete, as you always mention, we're also on Facebook as well for Fantastic Geek.
You can find us on facebook.com/Fantastic Geek, all one word, fantastic with a PH.
So now your identity has been compromised.
So are you going to guys go hiding now?
No need to go into hiding.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Okay, we'll check it out when we get out of here. Okay. Meanwhile, we've got to get the show on the road. We've got to tell you all about the big news that's coming out of Marvel Vaults right now, as well as talk about Agent Carter versus Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the highly anticipated Avengers sequel. So come on, Matt and Pete, let's get out of here now.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay.
Oh, this? A new gadget I'm getting to try out from S.H.I.E.L.D.? It's a news feeder. I get the news even before nosy journalists get to it.
Wow, that's so cool!
I know, yeah, you should buy me lunch. Anyway, my first news piece is really good news for all Thor fans. The first four Thor female edition comic books have sold more than any male Thor comic books in 2012. Proving that girl power is more profitable. Woohoo!
Woohoo!
And I guess it was a move greeted with mixed reactions. I know I was one of those skeptics because I was like going like, Thor, a female? I don't know. But apparently it looks like the tables have turned, the angry villagers have been quelled, and that Miss Thor may actually be the shot in the arm that the Asgardian comic universe needed. So, Raven, what's on your Marvel plate?
Well, apparently, there's also a secret Marvel movie about a lesser-known character called Crash Ryan that's in the works right now.
Crash Ryan?
Uh-huh.
Wow, who's that?
I don't know.
Is that? Okay, all right. Thanks, Raven, for the update about a character nobody really cares about. And finally, for all fans of The Incredible Hulk who want to see a standalone Hulk film, the news is that it could or couldn't happen, only because the comic book character hasn't exactly had the best box office run in ages. So I'm throwing it out there. What do you guys think?
I think we're going to get a Planet Hulk movie by 2020.
Wow.
Okay, I'll write that down and place a bet on it.
I kind of disagree, just because I think that there's such a pathos with the Hulk character traditionally that might not necessarily translate well to a movie. It's obviously something that the two movies in the last 10-15 years have struggled with, and I think that that struggle would continue, where it's kind of it's a lower key character with kind of big explosions of action that just might not translate well to a movie. But I guess we'll see.
I agree with you, Matt, because basically, I mean, I grew up with the old Bill Bixby Incredible Hulk series, right? The one where, you know, you have the tearful... Yeah, I know. I mean, it used to make me
sick. I'm walking right now.
Yeah, even as a kid. Yeah. I think one of the things I always asked myself as a kid when I was watching that was that I always wondered how Bruce Banner was able to fit all his clothes that he wore in the show in that one small bag. I mean, that's so stupid, right? But I mean, like, as a kid, that was the one thing that I always wondered, like, how come he always carries a small bag? But I always thought that that television series, I mean, which I think they're syndicating now on the Sci-Fi Channel, nobody has been able to top that, the kind of pathos that Matt was talking about, because the character is really a sad character. Not in a funny way, but I mean, really sad. I mean, he's got emotional problems, man, you know.
But there's actually another reason, though, I just found out recently, and it's a very bland reason. Mm-hmm. Apparently, there was Mark Ruffalo gave an interview recently saying that the reason they couldn't do it is because of the distribution rights.
Oh.
Because the distribution rights apparently still lies with Universal, the movie studio that produced the first Hulk film. So.
Okay.
And they haven't sorted it out. But he can, although in his contract, he can still appear as Hulk, but in other movies. So you get to see him everywhere. He can go to Avengers, like 3, 4, 1,000, I don't know.
He can be in Captain America or Iron Man,
everything except a Hulk movie. Which is a bit sad, but...
Which adds on to the sadness of the whole situation and the whole...
Now I know why that guy has issues. Shouldn't Marvel have enough money to pay them out by now?
There's nothing more confusing than a Hollywood legal contract. So it doesn't surprise me that there hasn't been a Hulk movie since 2008, but somehow rights are still tied up. You'd think that there'd be some sort of... you know, trapdoor where the rights end. I know that was the case with Daredevil, where 20th Century Fox wanted to do something, started to put something together, and it didn't get something into production in time that they wanted to do, so it reverted back to Marvel. So, the fact that that was on some sort of timetable, and there's nothing more confusing than the Hollywood contract. It's as simple as that. So I'm not surprised that there's some weird, stupid thing preventing what could be a cool movie if they want to pursue it.
This tunnel is longer than I thought.
I knew I should have brought food supplies. We don't even know where we're headed. Pete, are you sure you've been down here before?
Positive. We just need to look out for a wall with strange alien carvings.
Well, Pete, I hope so, or we'll be carving strange alien symbols on you.
Well, since we've got a long way to go, let's talk about Agent Carter.
Miss Carter?
Quiet. Procedure 791. Isolate the suspect and remove civilians from harm before attempting arrest.
I'm sorry, what's happening?
The man at the counter is Agent Mesner from Washington, D.C. The man behind me is Agent Reese.
SSR agent?
I need you to find a way to block the front door so that no one else can come in. I'll do the rest.
I'd love to.
Oh, 10 cents for a cup of coffee. Believe it.
Yes, it's a good day.
Right there, Carter. No sudden movements.
So, Agent Carter Season 1 arrived with barely a whimper, but has completely gutted audiences in a good way, of course, to be a well-executed drama miniseries that has left fans wanting for more.
And yeah, I know Matt and Pete, we talked about this earlier on, but you guys have got an Agent Carter series, right? Podcast series, which covered the entire show. From the time it started to the time it ended. And I enjoyed listening to that series because I'm a fan now. And after watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter, personally, I mean, for me, I feel Agent Carter seriously needed at least 2 more episodes to quench my thirst because it was that good. I felt I was watching like mini Captain America episodes, you know. So what do you guys think about this? Because I'm really a fan. Like, yeah, fan already.
We really liked it. It was definitely a different type of TV show set in a period. You know, retro sets, everything there, and to be able to take an existing character and to go backwards and to fill in some of the gaps in her life, you know, was an interesting aspect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The idea that they had this set storyline that was going to be 8 episodes, I really dug the fact that each week you could feel the overall momentum of the season.
Yeah.
I think that there are places where maybe it could have been a little bit more, maybe more similar to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with, you know, bigger explosions and bigger surprises. But the flip side is that's not the show that they wanted to do with Agent Carter. They wanted something that was a little quieter, a little more toned down, a little bit more personal. And I appreciated that the show that they set out to do, I really think that they did. We weren't thrilled with the way that it ended, just in terms of her not really getting an opportunity to stand up as a strong woman. But we also understand, you know, we understand the realities of the time when it was taking place, but we were looking for a little bit more in terms of kind of like a wink to the audience, like she still has all this potential. But still, it really was great to see something that was crafted beginning to end and had a through line through every episode.
Yeah, I mean, just like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they have these, they allude to the bigger cinematic universe, like they allude to, you know, the Avengers, they allude to Captain America, Winter Soldier. I also like the way, you know, Agent Carter had, you know, alluded very strongly to the first Captain America movie, kind of picking it up where that movie left off, and where she was, and where her story was at the time when, you know, Captain America is like plunged into the future, and then, you know, what happens to Peggy Carter and the rest of them, you know. I like that. I like that they set it up that way, the backstory, and I really enjoyed the fact that it was a period drama with a, you know, with so much action. I mean, given for that period, I think that's pretty good. And I really like the fact that there was finally a very strong female character who could kick butt. And it was a show that wasn't produced by Joss Whedon.
It was nice to get that aspect there. And I think that the hint of the character with Jarvis, the butler that becomes a big figure in Tony's early life, is going to figure prominently with where they're going to take that character.
The next time you approach a woman in a dark alley, you might introduce yourself.
I shall endeavor to remember that, provided my concussion isn't too severe.
I think one of the things I like a lot about the Agent Carter is how he plays to the time period. It's like watching Mad Men, but, you know, in a superhero universe, which I thought was really, really cool. And I think one thing I like, though, really like, is the radio drama that is like ongoing throughout the series.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you have like cutaway scenes for this radio drama about this, like,
it was about Captain America and the romance between her and him and
Peggy Carter, right? And then you get this, like, you know, this traditional story, this like typical story of a guy, Captain America, saving the damsel in distress, whereas she is, as the story plays out, she's like kicking ass, you know.
That's right. It's like whatchamacallit, it's like a comparison, playing up the stereotypes in traditional media, like in radio, which was traditional media at the time, right, as opposed to the reality of, you know, her actual life as an agent. It gave the whole series an additional layer, subtext. It was quite clever.
It was a welcome departure from other types of shows.
Yeah.
Super low tech, because, like, I don't know about you guys, but I grew up listening to radio dramas, and I used to love, like, listening to the story. I was still old enough when they had radio dramas on the radio channels here, and then they were like having these stories, and these people are reading the stories, creating a sound effect in the background. I like the whole like lo-fi feel to it.
Hence why we do this radio drama. But in real life, we're wimps.
But think that we with the very ambiguous ending. I thought the whole point of her not realizing her potential was like because they're leaving the door open, like just in case you know they're going to develop the story or something. Or do you think that's just a very badly executed finale?
Well, we're not done seeing Peggy Carter for the immediate future.
That's for sure, because this is still the story about how she was set up. We haven't even gone to that yet.
Well, actually, she made a cameo in the opening of season 2 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And boy, was I excited.
I don't suppose you'll tell me where they came from.
There's a story. A myth from the East of a star that fell from the heavens.
You don't strike me as a believer.
Oh, I've based my whole life on it. History just has the details wrong.
Then set history straight.
These visitors, they didn't come to save the world. They came to conquer it.
That was a short cameo where they wanted to set up the villain for the season. So we saw her there, and it's kind of nice to see that all play in to the episode before Agent Carter officially was released in January this year. Yeah, it was quite interesting.
It is.
I still hope to see more of the, you know, more of her in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I know you guys like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but if you were to put the two of them together, do you guys have a preference, or you still like, you know, wear S.H.I.E.L.D. all the way?
Jeff Loeb calls Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. the mothership, and I think we both feel very much the same way, that this is the show from which all the others spring. And it'd be very difficult to navigate in this universe without that as a hub.
But ratings have actually dropped. So what do you guys think about? Like, are the fans not embracing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as much? Because the reviews that, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. took a long time, especially in season one, to sort of get to the meat of the whole plot. And in season two, the ratings haven't been that spectacular. Did you think that there is something that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of missed out on or could improve on?
I think that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is existing at a time where there's this ongoing shift in how we all view television. So yes, definitely, absolutely, the live ratings have declined, even compared to, say, where it was at the beginning of the second season. And I know oftentimes, you know, the misunderstood cry of the fan will be, but a lot of people watch it on DVR, a lot of people time shift it. But that is true. And I think for Hollywood to figure out how to still monetize that and make their way through, like, they're still figuring that out. There's a bigger fan base that watches Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter in a week than does the hour that either show has aired. So I don't know to what degree people have just kind of checked out. I don't know to what degree people have said that they're just going to watch it later in the week, but they love the show regardless.
Yes.
Who's to say? Certainly not.
Yeah, I was just annoyed when I watched the first episode of season 2 that they kill off Lucy Lawless. Oh my goodness.
The what?
They kill her off, Lucy Lawless.
Yeah, why did they do that? I don't understand, you know?
He's gone. 25-foot drop.
This is supposed to be an undercover operation. You want to explain why you're shadowing us?
We were your backup, what you needed.
Yeah, so did he.
Sir, Mark's down. Third party, possibly Hydra, and we're out in the open. What are our orders?
Go dark.
I nearly stopped watching for a minute.
I mean, yeah, I found it like, okay, so they brought her in and then they killed her off in the same episode. I'm like, what is that? For me, I found like the first few episodes was like, oh my goodness, can we get on with it, you know? But I stuck to it only because I found Agent May very interesting.
Nostalgia's fine, but I'd rather deal with reality. You planning to talk to me about your hand?
What about it?
You think I didn't see it tremoring the whole flight out? Your symptoms are getting worse.
Did the rest of the team see it?
No, they're good. Sky's asking the usual too many questions. They think it's a standard op.
Don't know it's personal.
Okay.
I mean, personally, I still like Agent Carter. Whoops. only because, you know, I am a big fan of period dramas, and I haven't seen a period drama with a butt-kicking ass woman in a long time, you know, because when you talk about period dramas, especially like wartime period dramas, I mean, it's always about like some romance or some soldier going off to war, you know, and like the woman like waves at him from the car and drives off kind of thing. So it was a really nice, fresh change.
Absolutely.
What do you guys think about the whole Fitzsimmons relationship?
I love it. I love their dynamic. I like that they they started out kind of as, you know, twins almost. And I like that they've had these ups and downs where either because of his injury at the end of the first season or her going undercover in Hydra in the beginning of the second season, they've had these splits that have caused each other or caused, you know, them individually to grow. And I like that it seems like they're, you know, they still have that family connection. I don't think, I mean, I know Fitz has romantic feelings for Simmons, but I think the show would be ill-served if they went down that road, him just kind of occasionally pining or him just focusing on the professional end of things and being friends with her. I think is a much more interesting dynamic. It's almost kind of like the lowest common denominator to say he's a guy, she's a girl, they must be in love because they share, you know, a love for science. You know, it's a fascinating and really fun relationship that they have.
I feel very sympathetic towards Fitz, actually, because
it's friend zone.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I mean, I'm always with the Scottish guy, okay, so.
Good job, Raven. I was looking for that. This leads to a secret underground facility that leads to the workshop.
How many underground facilities does S.H.I.E.L.D. have? Sounds like Inception. A secret underground facility within another secret underground facility within another secret underground facility.
And another.
I might go into a dream sequence next.
You might, Matt. Anyway, we can find our way to the workshop and grab a vehicle to escape this place.
We better hurry. The Asgardians will probably have thought of sealing all the exits.
You're right. Let's get the hell out of here. I'm getting nervous.
Okay. Let's just calm.
Really nervous.
Well, just calm ourselves down. Calm our nerves by focusing on our superhero friends, the Avengers.
Oh, yeah.
So, Avengers Age of Ultron is finally out. Out. Wow. Can you hear that? Out.
Yes, thanks to China.
And North Korea.
Yes.
And the jury is out as to whether the film hit all the right notes this time round, as opposed to its predecessor, The Avengers. Then expectations were really, really high, but the best news is that it's stuffed chock full of geek that it was such a fun ride. Let's recap what went down the trailer, shall we?
Yes, let's watch the trailer. And it's the Age of Ultron trailer 3.
I was designed to save the world. People who look to the sky and see hope. I'll take that from them first. There's only one path to peace. Their extinction.
I tried to create a suit of armor around the world, but I created something terrible.
Artificial intelligence.
It's called the Ultron program.
I'm sick of watching people pay for our mistakes.
isn't why we fight, so we can end the fight and go home?
Well, you amazingly failed.
Here we all are. Nothing but our wit and our will to save the world. So stand and fight.
No way we all get through this.
I got no plans tomorrow night.
I'm always picking up after you boys.
We can tear them apart. From the inside.
Is that the best you can do?
You had to ask.
That's right. So what do you guys think of the film so far? Now, all the trailers have been playing, you know. They're all over the place. The posters are all in our faces. They're everywhere.
Yeah. I feel like I've watched the whole movie just by looking at the trailers.
Yeah.
I mean, how many are, like, 3 trailers? Come on!
Okay, I actually heard from some journalists who were allowed to tweet when they were watching the premiere. Like, it was a closed doors event. And many of them said that it was a really good, exciting, fun ride. Yeah. I mean, like, James Spader, I mean, come on. The ultimate scariest voice on the planet right now. He's like, what's that guy that used to voice CNN? The guy that used to voice Darth Vader.
Oh, James Earl Jones.
That's right. He is the new, you know, Darth Vader, the new James Earl Jones.
What's really struck me with all the trailers and the promotional stuff is how they've earned doing another Avengers movie. They've earned it with the movies that are in between, with the individual stories for those characters where we care mm-hmm. about what's going on in their lives, and now they're able to come together. You know, whether the individual movies have had an impact on Age of Ultron or not is secondary. We care about these characters, and when they come together, we care all the more about them. It's not just let's immediately start with a team up movie and then go to the next team up movie. It's really letting these characters breathe and grow.
Looking back on what we've seen so far for both of you, Pete and Matt, like who's the most fun character for you to watch this time around? Who are you looking out for?
It's the dynamic for me, really, amongst the cast. They were so smart in who they got to get an established actor who was really looking for a second act in his career, like Robert Downey Jr. And look at the mega star that he has become as a result of this. You know, the scene where they're hanging around trying to lift up Thor's hammer is a wonderful example of the chemistry amongst this cast.
I agree with you. I mean, like, Robert Downey Jr. from drugs to dude, you know? I mean, really, he's turned his life around, he's turned his career around, and I just feel like he's having the most fun playing Iron Man. I am interested to actually see the dynamics between Scarlett Johansson's character, the Black Widow, and I want to see more of, is it the guy with the bow and arrow? What's his name?
Hawkeye.
Yeah. Oops. Yeah. Brain fart there. So I hear he's getting a bit more lines here. So be interesting to watch that, because all these characters that I named don't really have their own individual films. I kind of want to see how they grow. And this is the only space where you can get to see that.
Have all of them done the action film before? All these characters? Separately out of the Marvel Universe. I think Scarlett Johansson, she has done one sci-fi film.
Yeah, she did this film called Lucy.
So is that like a stepping stone to
No, she did it after she was already, I mean, she did it like way after she was cast as Black Widow. So it's just an extension of what she's been doing for the Avengers and Iron Man.
Yeah, I think she could have a movie on her own if she really wants to do it.
Yeah, and I'm not sure where they're going with that as well, because I haven't heard anything about, you know, the Black Widow. But Jeremy Renner, he's been very busy doing fantastical films like Hansel and Gretel and things like that, which also requires some bows and arrows.
So that's like training
it's
ground.
Like required training before you know, move on to Avengers. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see whether the film actually lives up to expectations at this point. I think it will. because of all the critical responses so far. And I think that for me personally, not only am I waiting to see those other characters, I'm waiting to hear James Spader, because, you know, I think he's just wasting his time lounging around in that show called The Blacklist.
Humanity, look how far you've fallen.
Is that who I think it is?
Lady Sif?
I don't think so. She doesn't play for the dark side.
I am Loki, of Asgard. Where are your Avengers now?
No, it's Loki. Guys, we have to get to the workshop. That's where Agent Coulson keeps his bus.
Dude, a bus? We're using a bus to flee from a powerful Asgardian like Mr. Frosty here? Dude!
This is not a bus! It's a powerful spacecraft! Show us the way, Agent Pete!
My pleasure.
Oh, I knew I should have brought popcorn for this. Come on, this is the all-powerful Loki we're talking about.
Matt, your head needs checking. That's way creepy how you think Loki is a hero. He isn't! He's just part of an ice cream race gone wrong.
Here it is! The bus!
Whoa!
You better hurry!
No, wait! It's coming at us!
What?
Run for cover!
No! Hang on! Don't! It's Agent Coulson! He's got a rope ladder and he's beckoning us to grab it! Come on, grab it now! Now!
Holy mother of Nick Fury! It is Coulson! Come on, guys! Let's go!
You know, I should have brought my camera for this.
Shut up, Matt, and grab the rope.
Stand back, you mewling quip! I am Loki, and I am burdened with glorious foes.
But it is over for you, Lokester. Here's an early Christmas gift for you. Ha ha! Bye! You! Wow! Was a cool experience, wasn't it? Agent Coulson actually saved us from Loki and everyone survived. It's monumental. We should celebrate because we always die.
Indeed. A toast to us.
Yes. Cheers. Well, with that, folks, we've come to the end of another explosive episode of Tomboy T-Rod. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you enjoyed this episode of Tomboy T-Rod, don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher and give us feedback. We've also got a great website with everything you want to read about being a tomboy in today's world. Check it out, baby! www.tomboy-tarts.com is the place to go.
Yes! And if you just want to connect with us outside of this show, we are also on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Tumblr. Just type Tomboy Tarts!
Yeah, and if you have any inquiries about advertising, collaborating, or appearing on this podcast or our blog, please drop us an email at tomboy.tarts@gmail.com. Because we are everywhere! Until the next 2 weeks, Kimosabis, ciao!
And adios!
Amigos!